And welcome, everybody. You're listening to Cloud Sense. I'm Jack Rudin, your host. And, you know, over the course of the last few podcasts, every so often I've been talking, aside from cloud, I've been talking about blockchain, only because blockchain has become so instrumental, such a big headline. And I'm not talking about Bitcoin, folks. Let's understand that. Remember, there is a big distinction between those people that think blockchain is Bitcoin and Litecoin only. We're talking about a technology here, folks. So bear with me and please put up with this because this is very, very important. And, you know, the reason I bring it up today is because I've got a great guest on who's going to come on after the break here, who's actually leading the charge, if you think about it, to actually bring professionals together and connect them for this very purpose. I mean, as we see the world changing, how do you actually address that from, you know, I guess not even a regulatory standpoint, more from a community standpoint. And that's exactly what our guest Melvin Pettis is going to come out and talk about right after the break again. He is a prolific writer. He's one of these people that you see time and time again. If you go to conferences, you will listen to him speak. And, you know, I want to explain this to you because I think it's so very important. You know, I had somebody actually send me an email and said, Jack, you know, you spend a lot of time talking about blockchain. I thought you were a podcast that was all about the cloud. Well, you know, number one, understand that blockchain technology is enabled by cloud technology. And it's one of those things that you see being created that is out there that nobody expected, nobody thought about, much like if you think about it. Now, I'm going to just put it into a perspective for you. When the screenwriters went on strike, folks, they did that. This was a few years ago. For those of you old enough to remember that, there was a few years where you had no new TV shows, you had no new movies written. Why? Because the screenwriters went out on strike. The reason they did that is because they never in their wildest imagination thought that digital content would be something that they would have to make sure that they included in their contracts with the studios, with the producers, with those that were actually putting up the money. That's right, folks. Think about it. They thought that VHS was going to be it, or worse yet, Betamax. How about that? But more importantly, they never thought of digital content. They had to go on strike. And the reason that I actually tell that story is because when we're talking about blockchain technology, understand that it was enabled by the cloud. And that's why this cloud, this utility that we've been addressing is so very important. Don't let people tell you otherwise, folks. All right? It is a utility and it is enabling us to do things that we never thought before. We're going to take a few minutes. And when we come back, we got Melvin on the show.
Are you in the market for cloud but wondering where to start or how to get the best value? Looking for help figuring out what you need without telling the same story to 10 different people? UCX is the cloud pricing and procurement marketplace. We quickly and easily help you identify exactly what you need, whether it's custom private cloud, bare metal, or VMs. We put your spec on our platform, where CSPs openly compete to deliver the best price, fit, and term. Save time, money, and find your cloud your way. UCX, cloud buying made easy.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Jack Berugian again. You know what? You heard me talking about it before the break. And, you know, I've got somebody who is, you know, one of the thought leaders out there, especially in blockchain. And we're not talking about Bitcoin. In fact, I'm going to bring that up to him in a second. We're talking about Melvin Pettis, who's from BlockHive. And Melvin, you know what? Thanks for joining us, by the way, on Cloud Sense. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Jack.
Well, hey, you know what? Let's get right into it. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your background so that way we can give everybody the credibility they need when we start talking about BlockHive and what you guys are doing.
Sure. So BlockHive has been around for about a year and a half. We started it as a way to engage the community and learn more about what was happening in the crypto and blockchain space and really to teach more. I started it with a group of colleagues of mine. We all worked at the same consulting company, And we just needed a way that was not competitive with consulting to, you know, get out there and engage the market from a blockchain perspective.
Well, it sounds
Now,
like
as
you
for
guys are
me,
really
first,
you're building a compute you're building a community. I mean, it kind of it feels that way. And you know, but is does your is your background in social media? I mean, did you come from that world, or
No.
is this something that's new to you?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't come from social media. Actually, I only had maybe 800, 500 LinkedIn connections before May of last year. And so this just kind of exploded, you know, just through that journey of trying to figure out how to communicate what this technology was to business people. But no, I come from a collaboration space. I was a software engineer all my life so far. Well, all my adult life, I guess you could say, after school. So I studied computer engineering, ended up working in DC for the government for a while, came back to Chicago, worked as a SharePoint architect, and then eventually started to go into digital strategy and transformation. And so that's kind of where I've been in my career, is helping companies either at the executive level or technical level understand impacts of new technology to their business processes and helping them work through it. So always a collaboration consultant. So not quite social, but social enough.
Well, you know what? I think that kind of background actually qualifies you better than somebody who's in social media, because you know, just from a personal standpoint, what exactly is needed from the professional. You know, and that's kind of, it sounds like that's where you're going with this. So it sounds like you're really filling a void with BlockHive. Tell us a little bit more about that, and tell us,
That,
you know,
yeah.
how you're bringing the world together and teaching people, because you guys really are thought leaders. I've been reading, you know, and for those that don't know this, you know, Melvin is a prolific writer, is one of the best speakers I would call it the blockchain tours that are out there. So if he's a speaker, if he's sitting on a panel, by all means, make sure that you listen to him. But you know, tell us a little bit how you fill in this void.
Too kind, Jack. Too kind, but yeah, thank you. So we do it by, and as you said, you know, we helping when you help, you know, some Fortune 100s and Fortune 10s deal with some hard problems, you understand the kinds of political hurdles they face in launching new ideas. And so coming from that space, those folks are our audience, your CIOs, your CTOs, your chief executive officers, right, who are looking to make wise decisions with how they invest in this space. And so we started BlockHive as a way to kind of speak to some of the myths that were out there about what the technology could do. And we found ourselves on these panels really going through the litany of products that are out there that are worth people's time, you know, to take a look at. Also asking tough questions. Why do you want to do blockchain with that? Or, you know, why would you want to apply, you know, a blockchain technology, you know, to this problem set. And it never ceases to amaze me. Every time we bring up one of these topics, it sends people back to the drawing board, but happily so. They're never upset with us for questioning an approach. So that's, you know, you said it exactly right. We try to ask the tough questions around, you know, why do you want to use the technology, and are you aware, you know, that there are alternative, you know, methods out there? And so, you know, that's kind of where we focus, and we try to get it to a point where we have Chicago and other sister, you know, cities that understand this complex relationship that we're forging, you know, with the business community and the technical community that's building the software. We build those relationships in a way to, first of all, let me say that Chicago is unique in the sense that similar to New York, we have a lot of international, what would you call it, representation, right? And so that allows us to go
By the way,
places.
I'm going to stop you there. That is probably one of the unknown secrets of Chicago. It is by far, I got to tell you, everybody that comes in from out of town is amazed at how much talent there is right here. It's really the breadbasket. It's the Silicon
It's
Valley of
insane.
the Midwest. It really is.
It really is. It really is. And we have hardworking people, and we have really creative and talented people. And the sad part is, a lot of times, all of that talent gets sucked out, you know, to the extremities, right? So it's almost like we're pumping blood to the extremities, you know, the LA and New York and, you know, global jurisdictions out there that need that help. I remember just before I left my last gig, I was looking at a potential job out in I think Saudi Arabia or something like that, helping them with a blockchain product integration into
See,
the government.
we got to stop that brain drain. We got to keep it right here in Chicago where it belongs.
Yeah,
with, you know. With
yeah.
But it sounds like
yeah. So that
let me
was,
tell you this, Melvin. It almost sounds as if what you guys are doing is taking the idea of peer to peer, which is really what blockchain is all about, and kind of adapting it into a community form. So that it's a big collaborative form. It's a big collaboration instead of, you know, instead of having a central authority in the middle of it, like a LinkedIn or something like that. Is that a good way of describing it?
Yeah, and I would say it's even more organic than that. I think we recognize right off the bat that you really can't have one without the other, right? If you want innovation, you need some type of public buy-in, right? Or some type of community feedback mechanism. So we've always seen this technology as being one that requires a hybrid thought process.
Yeah,
right?
No,
so
you're thinking like that's
centralized right. and decentralized.
That's
yeah.
exactly the way to do it. Hey, let's get into this, only because,
yeah.
you know what, I want to switch gears on you a little bit. I find a few challenges when I talk about blockchain technology, only because whenever I bring it up, immediately somebody talks Bitcoin. And I think to myself, okay, wait a second, time out. That's not what this is all about. You know what I mean? We're talking about, you know, maintaining, you know, so, you know, you could actually take a commodity in a raw form and then put it onto a, you know, onto a blockchain if you want, so that you know exactly where that origin is. So you know from smelting to use, you know, using a certain type of metal or a certain type of steel. Tell me what your biggest challenges are when you're explaining blockchain or crypto for that matter to people, because I really am curious. How do you get around that obstacle?
You know, part of the problem is the words that we use to talk about what the blockchain is. And, you know, at risk of, you know, being, you know, harassed by a lot of people who hate to have certain types of technical matter dumbed down too much. Let's just call blockchain a database, right? Or a tracking system, right? And then if you help people understand that money is a tracking system, and then after you go past money and say, well, you know, we even, you know, track the placements of our products, right? Within a supply chain. And so now we have all these tracking systems, and the only problem that we've had in the past is that no one really ever felt comfortable about who had the keys to the tracking system. And so now we're proposing, you know, this new model where the entire world can bear witness to and participate in a global tracking system. And that in and of itself has inherent value because it helps people build trust in the tools that they're using. Not necessarily in each other, but at least in the fact that that the tool is doing the job, you know, that it was meant to do, and you at least have 50% of the population of users to validate that.
See, I even, and you've simplified it so well, by the way, I got to tell you, thank you, Melvin, for doing that, because I have always tried to use the old, you know, the old days, you trust and verify, right? I mean, you know, somebody puts it's a ledger entry at Chase account, and you're looking at it, and you assume that that money is there because you trust them. But the reality is that, you know, you've got to be able to verify it. So, you know, every now and then, you've got to make sure that Chase is still in business, or better yet, that they're still solvent.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? Before I lose you, and this has been very enlightening. I love it. Two questions you know, before we close out. One, where do you see BlockHive going? And two, what do you see out there, you know, as far as, you know, people that you've talked to? Because, you know, you come from a world of consulting. So do you see anything really disruptive on the horizon that people might be talking about or maybe not talking about?
Yeah, you know, it's depending on what you hear, there's either going to be a major disruption in the companies who are out here attempting to do blockchain projects because regulation is going to come and challenge, you know, their business model of raising money before, you know, having a product ready, or challenging the legal operation methodologies that have been established for years as far as, you know, who they accept money from and what they're actually selling, like whether it's securities or commodities or whatnot. So that is thankful and welcome, you know, writing, right, of the system because people lose money. I've lost money, right? And unfortunately, what happens is you have a lot of folks who don't understand money already as it is. Just take the broader topic of money, you know, like what it is, who makes it, right? And then as soon as you dangle something in front of them that looks like it can give them more of the thing that they really like but don't understand, they're going to jump at it, right? So I see that as being one major disruptor to like our community, our space. And so I think a positive disruption is that you'll see more real world systems being updated by blockchain and cryptocurrency based systems, or just say tokenomic, you know, based models being more prevalent. And that's going to be a really, really good thing. So if you are someone who has a regulatory compliant exchange, then that's a great place to be in, because we've basically created a system that allows us to issue a coupon from anywhere in the world and have anyone in the world participate in owning that coupon. All right. So even if I'd never lived near Dunkin' Donuts, but I think that Dunkin' Donuts is expanding and that those coupons will be, you know, worth something over time, then I have a new income. What do they call it?
A
I
residual
forgot what they
income,
call it.
another ancillary source
Yeah.
of income. There you go.
No, yeah, another stream of income, I think, is what they call it, right? And
I
that's
see.
huge, you know, for people who work in, you know, the developing world and are looking for more ways to become, you know, economically viable and competitive. That's a cool thing to be able to buy into,
I like
you know,
that a lot,
markets
Melvin.
that are falling.
That is the world as I see it in another few years, and you hit it right on the head there. You know what? Unfortunately, that's all we got time for. Melvin, thanks for joining us, by the way. You know what? Please promise to come back. All right? I'd love to hear more about what you guys are doing at BlockHive, and as you guys expand your network, where you're going with it, that would be great.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to the next time.
All right, you've been listening to Melvin Pettis. He's the CEO of BlockHive. I'm Jack Barugin. This has been Cloud Sense, and we'll be talking to you soon.